Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. This is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, heard on 28 stations around the region, also on demand at sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to that podcast on iTunes or by using that podcast app. If you have an iPhone or iOS, you can use that podcast app and get the new shows delivered right to your phone as they become available. Now we're going to talk a lot about Lake of the Woods this week. We got Joe Henry back again. They've got some tournaments coming up. They've got some hunting opportunities that we'll talk about, and we'll find out how they're catching walleyes right now on the big lake in northern Minnesota. We'll also get an update from Devil's Lake with Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. And this time of year, it's beginning to be one of those challenges. What do you do? Do you chase late summer walleyes? Do you panfish? A lot of guys are switching over to musky gear and chasing after some of those big old toothy critters. So we're going to talk muskies here too with Jeff Anderson. This week's show is brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Get your late summer, fall, or even winter fishing trip booked on Devil's Lake at haybaleheights.com. They've got those snow bears that they chase perch around in. We fished out of snow bears up there. It was 47 below zero outside, and we were fishing Devil's Lake perch in t-shirts. It was unbelievable. Also by Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering guided duck and goose hunts. In fact, we're getting started. We're going to North Dakota for early Canada goose to do some fun hunting later next week already. And then we'll start guiding in Minnesota here in September. And, of course, brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism as well. You can book your fishing trip, whether it be fall, summer, winter, at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. All right, our first guest is a fisherman, a guide, a content creator. He does a little bit of everything, and we're going to find out just how he fits all that in to an 8-hour day, which is probably more like a 20-hour day, if it's anything like I know. Jeff Anderson joins us here on the radio show now. Jeff, how are things?
It's funny you mentioned that. I just got done with a meeting this morning with a fellow client, and I said, I wish we had 34 hours in the day rather than just 24, but I'm happy to be back in the States. I just got back. I was on Lake of the Woods for over 30 days straight, and I got to chase, my favorite fish, the muskie, on one of the most amazing bodies of water for 30 days. And it was a grind, and which it always is, but we loved every second of it.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that because I've had the opportunities to take some longer trips up to some Canadian fishing destinations that are just, some unbelievable waters. And I got an offer to go up for a month next year to one of these lakes. And so, I want to know what that's got to be just an unbelievable opportunity. And hard to stay in touch, though, and hard to get work done. I'm assuming you were working while you were up there, too.
We were, yeah. We fish when we're up there. We're fishing from pretty much sunrise to sunset. We're on the water 14 hour days, and you got to get home, and when you get back to the cabin, you got your process to go through, and we keep our system very similar, and you don't have much time to, nutrition is a key factor in fishing those long hours, and especially musky fishing, so we fuel up and we go to bed and try to get 5.5 hours of sleep, a night. Yeah. And by the time it kind of wears on you. So there's a strategy to being able to choose the good days and the bad days. And as much as it's hard on my personality, when I can kind of predict those high pressure northwest, dry wind days where fish activity tends to be low, some days those are the days where you just catch up on that, yeah, 6 to 7 hour sleep and you get equipment back in order, and there's definitely a strategy to that, because what happens once you get to the end of the trip, you're fishing, let's say you're fishing 30% less spots than you normally are fishing, and that correlates to less fish catches because you're slowing down, and if you don't strategize on how you manage those long days, your body, the human body, just can't put up with it.
Yeah, That's right. And I just spent 2 weeks in Saskatchewan doing the same thing, fishing and filming the entire time. And granted, we caught big fish and it's ate delicious food and we're, you know, on an island in Saskatchewan. Everybody considers it a dream trip and it really is. But what they don't always realize is when you do come in off the water, then we sat and go through video footage and go through stills and dump footage and clean cards. And sometimes I'm sitting there until, you know, I'm sure you are too, 11 o'clock at night. You know, at least some nights, and there's a lot of work to it. I mean, it's fun. Don't get me wrong; I enjoy it, but there's definitely a lot of work to it.
There is a bunch of work to it, and you are right. It's that process of getting in the cabin and enjoying a great meal, and you know the camaraderie, and of course you want to have a couple beers with the crew
and talk about the day,
and then you look at the footage, and then all of a sudden you got to show everybody the footage, and then you get deep, and then you're like, oh, we got to show this, but you know, and then before you know it, like you said, it's late, and of course it's a blessing to be able to do what we do, but it's to have an appreciation for the end product and to see the end video that comes out of those trips is hard to grasp unless you live it just a little bit. So
yeah, well, and you guys do great work, and I'm assuming this is work for Raw Fish.
Yeah, we did work for Raw Fish and Anderson Brother Outdoors and our media partners there, and you know, fish catches on you know our partners with tackle and everything else, and we've captured some really amazing content, you know, when it comes from capturing the real moments of chasing these fish. You know, we had this 50 incher that we landed that the scene is just, you couldn't describe it. Okay. If we didn't have the cameras going, where it followed out a topwater bait and almost bit, and then we fished it for a bit and it didn't bite, and I was almost ready to drive on, and then I marked it on my Hummingbird side image, and I'm like, oh, there it is. And you can see me in the video, you know, it's unscripted realness, where I backed up and I told my fishing partners, I'm like, it's sitting right there. And I'm like, oh, you're going to come across her face. And no kidding, this fish comes out and it's chasing the jerkbait, a new jerkbait that we're using, a Svartzonker Micktail Musky jerkbait. And it is just a fabulous throwback lure. And we caught so many fish this way, and it's just gumming it. And I mean, you have this 50-inch fish snaking behind this lure, in not an aggressive manner, but just trying to taste the lure. And we have all this on camera, and the lure just kind of falls into its mouth, but it ate it, kind of ate it, and he sets the hook, and the fish doesn't know it, and it goes in the net, and there we have a 50-inch, and the scene is, and so it just, stuff like that is just, it's really authentic video. And I think that's what more and more nowadays the viewers are looking for, is that those authentic fish catches that can't be scripted out, you know, and so I'm really excited to show that stuff like that on our channel. And
That's great. Jeff Anderson, our guest, Sporting Turtle Radio, talking about catching big muskies, Lake of the Woods. And you're right. It's so perfect when it just falls into place like that and it just happens. I mean, you have to go in with some sort of plan, of course, when you're up, you know, spending that much time and money and effort. You have to have some kind of plan. But I mean, you're dealing with wild animals here, wild fish, or no matter, filming outdoors. I think Jim Shockey said at one time, the outdoor cameraman has the hardest job in the world. Because you're not dealing with scripted actors, you know, who have directions. Oh, please stand here, you know, let's get the sun at her back. You're dealing with wild creatures out there who don't always cooperate. So when it happens like that and it all falls together, there, and viewers can tell, I think, when stuff is real like that. And, you know the stories as well as I do, and you hear about some of these, you know, some of these old time fishing shows and, gosh, people rehooking or people paying other guys for fish and things like that. There was a lot of non-authenticity to it. So when you can do it and you go out there and you do it right, and when something like that happens, it's unbelievable, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. I sure appreciate it. I mean, we've been able to be blessed to be able to film a lot of ice fishing stuff, and boy, filming outdoor television is tough, and then filming ice fishing, as you know, it's a whole different challenge. And, you know, I go back to, you know, we filmed that piece up on, way up north, you know, lake trout fishing, and the emotions that came out with catching a couple of the lake trout that I did was pretty, pure, raw, authentic emotion, just because of all the challenges that we faced that most of the viewers didn't see, with snowmobiles breaking and camera batteries breaking and the freezing cold, not knowing where we are, crossing these giant cracks and getting out in this majestic place that's untapped, you know, in the middle of absolute nowhere, and doing battle with, you know, a 20-minute battle with just a monstrosity of a fish. You know, those authentic moments really, I mean, that's what drives us to do those things that we love to do, you know, and to push forward and to appreciate when it happens. But yeah, I know it's pretty cool when it all comes together. And, yeah. And muskie fishing, like you said, capturing the moment isn't always perfect on camera, because those moments only happen so often. Yeah. And then to capture it on camera, you can't recreate it. You just have to go with what you got. So it's pretty cool.
Jeff Anderson, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. There's so much we can sit here and talk about. We haven't even gotten into talking really about your muskie fishing trip, other than the one example right there. So I want to talk a little bit about muskie fishing. We'll talk more about raw fish. You've actually got a job opening with your company there. This is a pretty cool opening, people. So if you're interested in working in the outdoor, or if you're working in the outdoor industry right now, in outdoor television or outdoor filming, things like that, listen up to this opportunity. We'll tell you more about that coming up. We'll also have Lake of the Woods fishing report from the American side of Lake of the Woods, and more Jeff Anderson coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle, here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes and using the podcasts app on your iPhone. Our guest, Jeff Anderson, right now, Leisure Outdoor Adventures, Raw Fish Creative Group, a lot of other places and entities that you've been a part of. On the TV side, you guys are doing Across the Ice Belt, is that right?
Yeah, you know, we filmed their last season last year, which was the plan, is to go out with a great blast of 3 years to film. Cool. That and so that was our last season, and it was a great success, and we had such a fun time doing it with the ice team and the Clam Outdoors team, and you know, they're a great company to work with, and we do a ton of work with them, and this year we're not traveling as much, which is great for family life. As sure. You know, being on the road 12 weeks out of the winter, out of the short winter, it's a long time away from family, especially when you got a son in hockey and you got a daughter that's in figure skating. So there's got to be a little bit of balance there, of course, you know. But
with a son in hockey, how do you have time to do anything?
Right, exactly. Yep, and I'm blessed to be able to coach and be a part of that whole realm of my life. So it's actually my way to recharge my batteries is the way we say it. So I love the hockey rink, and I grew up playing hockey, so yeah, we get to travel around and shoot a lot of outdoor media. And
well, what, tell us what Anderson Brothers Outdoors is then.
Yeah, so Anderson Brothers Outdoors is simply just an educational tool for people to go on and be entertained and watch outdoor media and to get to watch our pursuits of you know, hunting and fishing and everything that we do there. And Raw Fish Creative is a production marketing house that does media work with the fishing industry, but also outside the fishing industry. And we've had extreme growth there, and we're blessed to be able to be in the position to be able to grow our team here in Brainerd, Baxter, Minnesota. And we are searching for somebody who likes to shoot camera and edit video. And we've had a ton of great applicants, and we're continually searching for that right person. And once we feel that we have it narrowed down to five or six, we're going to do interviews and hopefully we find that person that we can have with us for a very long time in our studio here in Brainerd Baxter.
Okay. So that'd be a full-time job located in Brainerd Baxter.
Yes, correct. Yep.
Where can people find out more information about what you're looking for?
You can send a resume to joe@rawfish-media.com, or they can send us an email and we'd be happy to answer any questions that they might have.
So Joe's your brother. Is it basically you two that go out and fish and film each other? Is that how you guys do it?
Yeah, we have a team behind us, but it's basically Joe and I are the two that we've been able to not wrestle too much. You know, he's a wrestler, I was a hockey player, so you know, I try to choose my battles with that. But
so one's a grappler and one's a puncher is what you're
saying. Yes, and usually those grapplers always win, so I know my place. But so Joe and I you know, we've been working together for a long time, and you know, we've like I said, we're so blessed to be able to be in the position we are to have taken an idea and a vision and to be able to grow. And like I said, you know, we're really looking for somebody that'll fit our culture, and help our team grow.
Sure. All right, Jeff Anderson, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Raw Fish Creative Group and the job opening that they had. They just spent 30 days up on Lake of the Woods. So with some of these trips, with this editor, videographer, would they come with on some of these trips, maybe some of them, and stay back and edit sometimes, or how would that work?
Yeah, absolutely. Joe just got back from the beautiful fly-in place up in Saskatchewan, Scott Lake Lodge, and it was a wonderful trip. And we were actually looking for somebody to go with him to film with them. And you know, this is just that, you know, you've been to amazing places up there, the best food, the best fishing, the best scenery, everything. The person that gets to fill the position will get to come on some of those adventures and get to experience some pretty good times.
Yeah. So what, you didn't get to go on that trip?
I didn't. I was on Lake of the Woods time as well. So we were doing split duties.
Not bad. Not bad. Well, I can't go. I guess I'll just stay on Lake of the Woods and chase 50-inch muskies, I guess. So, Jeff, let's talk about Lake of the Woods. You're up there for 30 days. How was the fishing? And you said you were using some top water lures. Did you change it up, or was it mostly top water? Or what were you doing?
Yeah, so the game on Lake of the Woods is always there's always a bite going on somewhere. You just have to, you know, push through the tough times. And overall, I would say that the fishing was probably a more consistently tougher than it is. And the reason being is just because of weather. When we arrived on July 5th, it was pretty good right away. We had really good fish activity. Water temps were, you know, that mid 70, what you look for, in good musky weather conditions. And really, 80% of our fish up there are caught on bucktails when the fish are aggressive and biting. And then what happened is our water temp spiked up to like 82 and things went really stale. And then once you know it, the next day it dropped down to 40 degrees and our temps dropped down to 70. And then after all that happened, we had wind change every single day. So we just had no stability in the weather with a ton of high pressure. So fishing tended to be tougher. Now with that said, we averaged, you know, 3 to 5 bites a day. We would just have to fish really hard and long to get those bites, you know, and a bucktail shine. But, you know, we were using the big tooth juice bucktail, which is, it's a great, the mini juice bucktail, which is a great bucktail. And,
But the lure that really shined was some type of crankbait, a twitch bait, like a Rapala Super Shad or, you know, a crane bait, that type of middle bait on the rocks when the fishing got a little bit tougher, that bait really shined. Now, when you get up the Lake of the Woods, the question is always, are the fish in the weeds or on the rocks? And one thing that I have found over the years, there are always weed fish and there are always rock fish to be caught. And you have to fish the conditions. And when it's cloudy, windy, rainy, your typical musky day, those fish really bite on the rocks well. Now, when you have those high pressure, flat, calm, sunny days, those are usually the days that you need to go to the weeds and fish. So if I always get asked that question, well, would you catch them in the rocks? I always tell them it depends on those conditions. You just go out and you fish the conditions. Each day is different every single day. So we have these milk runs of, you know, 40 miles different directions. And each time those milk runs would include every type of spot, whether it's a rubble rock shoreline to a long boulder extension to a rock saddle, to a weed saddle, to a sand bay, to a, you know, weedy slot bay. We always include all that. Now I'm lucky enough to have, you know, so many years of experience on the lake to where I have lots and lots of spots. But everybody there, if a spot looks good on Lake of the Woods, it is good at some point in time. You know, that is the truth. And so what I tell people is have short memories. If you fish a spot that looks good and it doesn't produce, fish it again. If it doesn't produce, fish it again, then fish it again, because eventually it will, you know, and then you have a spot that's your favorite. Sure. I see that often. You know, I have spots even in Minnesota here that, you know, I'll fish 10 times throughout the day. And with my clients here, when I'm guiding back home, is they look at me and I pull up to these spots and they're like, why are we fishing here? I'm like, this is where they live.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of time. And, certainly they show up and they bite and sometimes they make me look really good. Sometimes I'm sure that people are driving home thinking, what in the world, we're fishing the same spots over and over again, you know, but
musky, I think as a musky guide, I think it's the one guide you can be where you don't catch a fish all day and you can still get a tip at the end of the day. You know? All right, we got to take a quick break. I want to ask you a couple more questions, though. We'll talk about your guiding. We haven't even brought that up yet. And musky fishing conditions with muskies and memories. I want to talk about that next. More Jeff Anderson coming up, Sporting Journal Radio, plus Joe Henry Talks Lake of the Woods, all on the way here, Sporting Journal Radio. Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman. And if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. 28 stations across the region. iTunes, On Demand, sportingjournalradio.com. I'm Brett Amundson. Our guest, Jeff Anderson, right now. Rawfish Creative, Anderson Brother Outdoors. He's also a guide in that Brainerd. What would you say, Brainerd, Walker, Bemidji area? What would you say for Leisure Outdoor Adventures?
Yeah, Leisure Outdoor, we're based out at the beautiful Chase on the Lake Resort in Walker, Minnesota, and we have 6 full-time guides running full-time, and the guys are rocking, and that's kind of where I cut my teeth as somebody who got into the fishing industry, is, you know, working in a tackle shop and as a fishing guide. And my partners, Toby Cavalli-Vog and Steve Olson, we started Leisure Outdoor Adventures together, and oh, it's been fun to watch that grow as well, as being one of the largest, you know, most premier guide services, longest running guide services in Minnesota. And you know, our home base is on Leech. We do trips out of Tuts on Mille Lacs. And, you know, we do some guide trips here in our home area, Brainerd, but the fishing on Leech is just so fabulous that,
yeah.
And working with Chase on the lake is just they're a great client and a great partner with us and our guide service.
Well, let's back up to muskie fishing for just one second. Do you guys guide for muskies then too, obviously?
We do. We got a whole team that are really good at it.
And so one thing I learned about muskie fishing, and I grew up going to a muskie lake as a weekend, you know, we never really chased them much. Usually we'd be bass fishing and we'd hook into one by accident and caught a couple of nice muskies, but never chased them hard. And when I started watching people that actually chased them hard, and I just can't afford the habit personally. Let's be honest. It's not a cheap, you need to hire a guide almost to go muskie fishing just because, I mean, to buy a bait, I'd have to put a second mortgage on the house, you know, but, when you brought up memories, I really realized that muskie fishermen do kind of rely on memory spots. It seems like a lot of time where they raised a fish or they caught a fish or whatever, saw one. You do kind of go back to those places a lot of times, don't you?
You do, yeah. I mean, a lot of times I think we overthink and we try to go outside the box, and it's all about windows. Muskie fishing is all about the person that can fish the windows and be able to recognize and have the instinct on the water. And like I said, you know, I always have my prime A spots that are I know that's where the fish are feeding. You know, I used to fish Cass Lake a lot, and I'd have these spots where I would know the fish would stage, and I could drive up and show my clients, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one. That's why we've been fishing this spot over and over again. Eventually those fish are going to bite. And it's funny, I've been able to, you know, one of my favorite things as an angler to do is put my sunglasses on those flat, calm, sunny days and go and study the spot, study the fish and, you know, just learn the biology of the lake and how the fish react. And there's times where Cass Lake got so clean, you could see the muskies actually shy away from the vibration of the bucktail. They did not like the vibration. When they're in a negative mode, they would swim away from it. But when they turned active, they would chase that bucktail down from 20 feet away and eat it. And it was so fun to watch that, the attitude of the fish. So I think I see that a lot, to where anglers think it's their presentation that they got to switch, and we got to switch. It's more of an efficiency game. When the fish aren't biting, you're fishing 5 to 10% of the fish population. So the person, the angler that makes the most casts in the most effective areas are going to be the most successful. And so when we talk about lure choices, I always talk about choosing the lure that it fits the application. Just like the crankbait, the fish in the negative mode pushed off the primaries of the rock spots, and they pushed down to 5, you know, the 5 to 6 foot rock. And those bucktails were just burning over their heads. Instead, the crankbait was getting down 4 feet and getting into their home and getting a lot of fish to react. Now, we dumped more fish that way just because they weren't eating the bait in a super aggressive manner, but we were getting some fish to respond to that bait. So when choosing the lure, it's really about choosing that lure for the application and the style of fishing that you're doing. But yes, creatures of habit, muskie anglers are, and you got to be willing. You got to be like a really good salesman. You got to be able to accept no on a spot, but to continue to come back and not give up on it, especially if you have past history on it.
Why does a moon play such a factor in musky fishing?
Well, I think moon plays a factor in all fishing. I just think we see it more, you know, in a musky's activity because that there's a common occurrence, you know, and there's feeding times that we can always predict. There's always sunrise, sunset. Those are always active feeding times. There's always moonrise, moonset, which are also predictable times. Then there's moon overhead and moon underfoot, which are usually the major windows fish activities, just because they're higher. And there is a direct correlation with the moon, but that's not always set in stone, you know, where, you know, moonrise, you know, you always look for that full moon time period, because when the sun is setting, the moon is riding. So those are two key times in musky fishing. It tends to bring fish shallow, but a full moon bite can actually be pretty tough at times. And case in point, on Lake of the Woods, it was pretty tough time frame because I think a lot of times those fish were feeding it in the dead of the night. And Lake of the Woods is a challenge to fish, you know, in the dark, just with all those islands and floating logs, and it's a dangerous time. Do they bite at night? Absolutely. But boy, it's a dangerous proposition doing that. So
Jeff Anderson. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say that's the moon and the short. You know, there's a lot to that moon, but those are the key times that you look at as an angler. But I've always preached that weather will trump moon any day of the week. If you have consistent good fishing weather, you're going to have a good bite. You can have a horrible bite on the good moon days if the weather doesn't help you out.
Jeff Anderson, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking muskies on Lake of the Woods. And, you know, a lot of people know about the Canadian side of Lake of the Woods and how different it is from the American side. You get into all those islands, and there's, I don't know, 8 billion islands, I think, last time I counted, on the Canadian side. And, you know, good walleye fishing, good crappie fishing, but the muskie fishing obviously is very good up there. And if somebody listening right now, Jeff, wants to do some muskie fishing and they want to do the Canadian side of Lake of the Woods, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, boy, there's you know, two main areas that you look at. You look at the northwest angle, which has traditionally been the go-to place. And then you look at the east side, which is the Morrison area. Both areas have fabulous fishing. All areas have great lodges, you know, in general that you can go stay at. I stay out of Morrison at Obabakan Bay Camp. My great friend Jared Amison owns it. And that's a great spot right in the muskie country. I mean, anywhere you stay, you can catch a muskie out off the dock. And that's the fun part up there. And so there's fishing guides all over, and the internet has great, great resource to watch muskie fishing, you know. And of course, Anderson Brother Outdoors YouTube channel has awesome muskie fishing on there. There you can kind of watch some of the stuff unfold and some of our muskie catches. But that's where I would start, you know, is just kind of researching. You can't go wrong researching a resort. Pick a resort that's going to fit your style. Now, if you have a family and you want to go up with a family vacation, you know, you have to pick a resort that might have a swing set or some family activities, you know, to keep the kids happy and everything else. But
swing sets, I think it's Xbox is the word you're looking for these days.
Yeah. Yes, that's just, yeah, that's called strategy. So you can fish an extra 2 hours, you know.
There you go.
You know, you can look in the Kenora area as well. The Menaki area has great muskie fishing up there as well. But the traditional areas is Northwest Angle and out of the Morrison. And there's resorts literally everywhere. And there's so many good things about all the resorts around.
Sure. So your YouTube channel, it's under Anderson Brothers?
Yeah, Anderson Brothers Outdoors. You got it.
All right. I haven't been, you know, obviously I've looked at the random YouTube video here and there, but I've started building a channel, and I'm starting to get into this YouTube world of TV. And, you know, I'm sure you're seeing it as well as I am. The, you know, viewing habits are changing. More people are going, what do they call it? There's a term for it now where people are watching offline or online broadcasts versus traditional broadcast. And, you know, there's always going to be room for some TV and radio and broadcast and things like that. But there's a lot more viewing that's going online. And YouTube is a pretty slick way to build a channel and get a lot of viewers.
It's wonderful media outlet delivery. I mean, it's, you know, for anybody can start one, like you said. And there are so many great content creators out there, you know, from young to old. And, you know, and you can watch it on demand. You can watch the stuff when you want, you know. So there's a reason why it's growing, and it's because it's effective, you know, and it's inexpensive way to deliver your media.
Yeah.
And so, and our goal, our goal with Anderson Brother Outdoors is just to make it fun. There's no huge business side behind it. We just try to share a passion for fishing and grow, you know, have it be a channel to help, you know, grow raw fish and everything else that we do there. But
If we wanted to look at some of your stuff, that'd be the first place you'd suggest?
Yes. Yep. That is a great spot.
Well, good luck with everything. I appreciate all the great information on muskie fishing, Lake of the Woods, and of course, keep up the great work with all the content. And good luck finding a person to fill your opening at Raw Fish Creative Group. And thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at Lake of the WoodsMN.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
You are listening to the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to that podcast in iTunes or by using the podcasts app on your iPhone, which is a pretty handy feature. You get the show delivered right to your phone as it comes out every week. Pretty slick. We're going to head back up to Lake of the Woods right now. Joe Henry back home from his trip where he went out east and did some fishing out there. And he's back on his home waters, homish waters, Lake of the Woods up there. And Joe, from what I'm hearing, fishing is still pretty good up there.
Oh, it's been good. Yep. Boy, what a summer we have going. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, whenever you hear about August and the dog days of August.
Right.
I mean, dog days equal walleye days on Lake of the Woods. It's really been good. And, you know, one of the great things about Lake of the Woods is that in addition to having 10 million walleyes, I mean, we don't have the weeds. We don't have so many little perch going on up there that all these other lakes have. And consequently, you know, these anglers, whether it's charter captains from the resorts or if it's just others, they got them dialed in, man. They're out in that basin in that 34 feet of water. Big schools, and those fish are absolutely dialed in.
And that, so 34 feet of water, are they fishing right down on the bottom then, or are these fish suspended?
Yeah, normally on Lake of the Woods, it's funny, and I'm sure I'll get some feedback on this, but I can tell you from experience that, you know, when those walleye suspend on Lake of the Woods, they're tougher to catch. Other lakes, when they suspend, you can catch them and you can troll for them and suspend it and stuff, but for some reason, Lake of the Woods, they're a little bit tougher to catch when they're suspended. Not that you can't. Not that I haven't, but I mean, you're going to have much better success targeting those fish when they're on the bottom of the lake. So yes, you know, when you're out in that basin, anywhere from, let's say 30 to 34 feet, you know, normally 32 to 34, you're going to be doing whatever it takes to get your offering to the walleyes down on that close to the bottom or maybe a few feet off.
Which we always vertical jigged when we were up there. When I fish out of one of the launches in August, it seemed like we were always vertical jigging, which I think is... I don't know. I enjoy doing it. I like trolling because you cover a lot of water, but boy, it seems like once you get on those fish and you can just drop a jig down right next to them and get down right on the bottom, I think that's a fun way to go, Joe.
It is. It is a good way to go. And you know what I like to do is I like to catch walleyes. And you know, when somebody asks me, how are you going to fish them today? Well, I'm going to let the walleyes decide that. You know, so I'll give you some insight. There's some resorts that don't troll. They don't pull downriggers. They don't troll at all. They just believe in live bait fishing, and that's fantastic. And Lake of the Woods is one of the lakes that you can get away with live bait fishing all year long and have good success. Now, when you get into August, there's some resorts that if people want to live bait fish, they'll live bait fish in the morning with either crawler harnesses or jigs. In frozen shiners. And then a lot of times what they'll do is the afternoon, as the sun starts getting up in the horizon or whatever, they'll get out there in the afternoon and they'll troll, because trolling is just so much more effective. Here's why. You got tons and tons of walleyes spread out on this huge, huge expanse of water. And by covering water when you're trolling, you're gonna be putting your lure in front of a lot more walleyes than sitting still over a scattered school. And consequently, you're just going to have more success.
Sure. Absolutely. And a lot of different ways to troll, too. Crawlers, cranks, downriggers. I suppose crawler harnesses are probably a favorite way to troll up there.
Yeah, and you know, and that's so for the people that live bait fish right now, typically crawler harnesses are much more effective than jigging just because those fish are spread out. So when we get a little bit of wind up in Lake of the Woods, you can drift for, you know, long, long distances where those schools of walleyes are and pick those babies off using crawler harnesses. That's one very effective technique. But, you know, I'll tell you another technique right now that's, you know, it's on fire every year, this time of year, is pulling crankbaits. And, you know, when you're pulling crankbaits in 32 to 34 feet of water, you know, you got to have a method to get them down to that depth. And what most people do is they use lead core line. If you're on a charter boat, our charter boats typically have downriggers on them. And other ways to get them down that's very easy and very inexpensive would be either using a three-way rig, they call it, or even just a 3 to 4 ounce bottom bouncer with like a 6 foot Snell leader, like a piece of fluorocarbon, and then a shallow diving crankbait. You know, just doing that alone, you're going to be able to get down to where those walleyes are, and you're going to have good success.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about fishing on Lake of the Woods. Walleye fishing, of course, always very good up there, and it's kind of surprising that maybe more tournaments aren't held up there. I know you get a fair share of tournaments up there, and you probably get the amount you like to have, Joe, but there's another big tournament coming up there this year.
Yeah, that sure is. We've got some great tournaments up there. And, you know, we got, I'll tell you, it's interesting. So this week we have, and I know the one you're talking about, I'll get to it, but we have, this week we have the Warrior Boats tournament. They have a dealer meeting and they have the, you know, all Warrior boat owners have an opportunity to fish a tournament on Lake of the Woods. And that's coming up this weekend. And, you know, they're going to do well. We have the AIM Minnesota Championship tournament coming up in a couple of weeks to Lake of the Woods. We have the Minnesota Tournament Trail. They've been a very loyal tournament trail that comes to Lake of the Woods. They have a couple of regular season tournaments, and then, of course, they always have their championship up at Lake of the Woods, and that's going to be for a Skeeter boat with a Yamaha motor on it. So it's big, big winnings, two-day tournament in September. And then, of course, you know, what some would call the granddaddy of them all, just being that most of the big-name professional walleye anglers are in it, the NWT, or the National Walleye Tour, is actually having their national championship up at Lake of the Woods this year.
Nice.
So that's, it's coming. And, you know, these guys and gals who are professional anglers have, you know, worked hard, you know, fishing tournaments all year long. And now this is the granddaddy of them all, as they would say. And that tournament's actually, it's a three-day tournament. It's kind of cool. The first 2 days, the whole field will fish. That's the 5th and 6th of September. And then after those 2 days, only the top 10 qualifiers will go on to day three, that Friday, September 7th. And 10 boats will fish off for the grand prize. And it's going to be a shootout. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of big fish going on in the lake.
Well, that's kind of exciting to see it get narrowed down like that. But also, it probably alleviates a little bit of pressure on the lake, Joe.
Yeah, you know, it does. I mean, I guess it does. But, you know, the thing is, Lake of the Woods is so big that having, you know, I don't know if they'll have, you know, 80 or 85 boats, or, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the number is, somewhere in there, I would imagine. You know, that many boats on Lake of the Woods isn't that huge of a deal. I mean, our basin is, you know, 30 miles north-south by 25 miles east-west, plus we have the northwest angle, plus we have 40 miles of navigable rainy river. You know what? I mean, throw an extra 80, 85 boats out there, that's nothing.
So how does that work? Do they release all the fish? Do they get to keep some, or what happens?
Yeah, typically what they do, you know, the Minnesota DNR has what they call a kill period during the summer. And don't quote me on the dates, but during the warmest months in the summer, when they know the water is going to be warm and water temperatures and live wells are going to be warm, there's naturally a higher mortality of fish that you keep in a live well for the tournament. So what they do in those situations is they lower the number of fish that a tournament can take. So, you know, in some tournaments you can bring, you know, six fish for a two-person team to the weigh-in. During the kill period, you bring only four fish, okay. And then you automatically know that you're not going to release those fish, that, you know, you need to do something with those fish. So to give you an example, we just had the MWC, the Masters Walleye Circuit, up to Lake of the Woods, a walleye tournament, and they fished during the kill period. So what we did is we found a 501c3, a nonprofit charity. In this case, it was the, you know, the old folks home in Bedette. And we cleaned the fish, and those fish fillets got donated to our old folks home in the community. So we try to, if it's a kill period, we certainly make sure that we're doing whatever we can to be responsible with the fish. And it went for a great cause, you know.
What is it? Yeah, how's that work with the slot and everything?
Well, with a slot limit, so, you know, on Lake of the Woods, it's 19 and a half to 28 inches. You must return turn the walleye or sauger back to the water immediately, you still can't keep those fish. Those fish still have to go back. But, you know, you can keep your fish that are, you know, over 28 inches. You can keep one of those per person and per day. And then you can also keep your fish that are under 19 and a half inches. So really strategically, you're going to want to go after your big fish. But if you can find those 19-inch walleyes, those are extremely valuable for a fishing tournament on Lake of the Woods.
Sure. So you can't bring in a 25-inch walleye.
No, not at all. No. Sure. So if you start getting to a pack of 23, 24, and 25, you want to get the heck out of there. You know, and you want to find either your big fish or your small fish, one of the two.
Sure. Joe Henry.
The cool thing is everybody's on the same page though, Brett. You know, right. I mean, everybody's playing by the same rule card. There's a lot of strategy that goes to this. All right, do I go after those 19s and try to fill the box with them? But wait a second, if I get, you know, let's say you can bring in, I think, five for the NWT tournament. Well, five 19s, what happens if somebody gets a 28 or 29 inches? It's going to be 9 or 10 pounds.
Yeah.
You do your math, you got to figure that out, you know? Hmm.
Joe Henry, our guest here for just another minute or so here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Lake of the Woods and the NWT tournament championship that's coming up. That's in September, Joe?
Yeah, that's coming up in September. It's the 5th, 6th, and 7th. And, you know, I should mention, too, that, you know, if people are up in the area vacationing up that time, it's a great time to fish. It's fun to see the pros. It's fun to see their boats. I mean, these boats are incredible. And then also, it's kind of fun to go to the weigh-ins. But, you know, if you're not up at Lake of the Woods, I know the NWT does their weigh-ins online. So starting at around, I would imagine it's 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon, they do live weigh-ins. You can see what the anglers are coming in with.
Oh, that's very cool. So those dates one more time if people want to watch online.
Yeah, September 5, 6, and 7. So, you know, the first day is cool to watch. Second day, it's really heating up because that's going to narrow down to the final 10. And then, of course, that Friday the 7th, that's going to be the top 10 fishing for the Grand Championship.
Well, I could go watch the NWT and then maybe go shoot some Canada geese in the morning up there and then go watch the walleye fishermen or go catch some yourself. Because, Joe, and then we're kind of running out of time here this week, but obviously up around Lake of the Woods, there's some great opportunities to cast and blast up there, whether it's Canada goose hunting or rough grouse or some of the other grouse species. There's a lot of hunting opportunities up there, too, in the fall.
Yeah, there sure is. And you know what? I would just say this, you know, with literally hundreds of thousands of acres of public land with nice trails, grouse are loaded up there. We have a ton of grouse. And of course, the waterfall last year, I can't tell you how great the goose hunting was.
I can't wait.
Excellent.
Cannot wait. All right, Joe. Well, if somebody wants to come up there yet this end of summer, maybe this fall, or start planning their ice fishing trip, where should they go to find out more information?
Check us out on Facebook, you know, search Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.